Isley.
Isley.
Eyes.
Yeah.
Isley.
Eyes. Like your eyes.
Testing. Okay.
We're going to have a person joining us as well.
Without going into a long story, I'm going to try and say this in a couple of seconds. At age 69, I'm way over the hill.
Well, I don't know about that.
And even though looks can be deceiving, but I've had two events with my heart.
Oh.
I had a heart attack 13 years ago.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And I went into AFib. You ever heard of AFib? AFib, afibrillation?
Yeah.
Went into AFib about a year ago.
Ooh.
And the docs got me on all the right meds, which I take religiously. And I also got problems with my low back, lumbar problems. In fact, I just met with my fourth neurosurgeon this morning at the Mayo Clinic. I found out that in the world of neurosurgery, or surgery in general, but especially lumbar surgery, they all have different training. Depends on when they were trained. They have different approaches, how to go in and do it, whether we should do it, not do it. So I've seen four of them, and I'm going to see a fifth one in about a week in Tucson. Now that one's not going to kill me. That one, you know, it just hurts.
Just bothers.
And I got good docs at the VA, and they give me the opioids that are supposed to be terrible for you, but you know, they work. And the nice thing is when I go down here to Mexico and get my teeth done, they don't give you that kind of stuff in Mexico, so I bring my own.
Right.
And then they, you know, do the implant.
Oh, yeah.
And then I take my own bike finger. So anyway, another thing that's going on, that's been going on, without going into a lot of details, I never got married or had kids. You know, my generation checked out, and I did that twice, but no kids were produced. And nobody in my blood family really is interested in the fiddle music. And yeah, now have you met or heard about the Duttons?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you seen their show?
Yeah, yeah. I've seen their show.
Well,
we're good. Yep. Thank you.
Duttons and I go way, way back. You probably know that. 20 years old.
Oh,
and first met him at a showcase we were all doing in Pueblo, Colorado. And when they were younger, I talked to them about, hey, I've got all this stuff, I've got videotapes, and I've got cassettes, and I've got files full of contracts, and all this stuff. I saved it, right? And if anything happens to me, it either goes in the dumpster at the store, or it goes to the liquidators that take stuff to flea markets and, you know, that cleans out stores. Cleans out offices. See, I don't even have a house. I just live in my van. I have a 10 by 15 storage, and I have a 12 by 12 little office, and that's how I keep my overhead low, where I don't have my freedom to
rent.
And I talked to the Duttons about passing stuff along, and then they got big, and they don't need it, and they all grew up, they all got married, they have their grandkids. I don't know if they got grandkids, but they got those grandkids and maybe great-grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
And they got their two theaters. They got Branson and they got Mason.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always intended for 50 years to put out the books and the CDs and the DVDs and the teaching stuff. And you know, unfortunately, my intentions have not worked out. I probably scratched the surface. Maybe I've actualized 2 to 5% of my potential.
Wow.
And you know, I could analyze it to death, but probably the main reason is because I've just been lazy. just enjoying life. Well, being footloose and fancy free, running around the planet playing my fiddle and why put on a tie and I've done it. I've punched flies. Anyway.
Well, if you can live the way you want to live, though, that's hard to put a price tag on that.
Yeah, I like freedom. I don't, I got fame. Unfortunately, the fortune didn't come with it. Well, what I'm interested in finding out is what's going on with the girls in terms of short-term and long-term, and to see if there might be something we can do together. Vi Wickham is in my, he's in, you know, I have a blood sister in Oakland, California. If something happens to me, the accounts that say next of kin, mm-hmm. She gets a call. She knows about Vi. Vi is up the road from, I'm in Arvada, where Arvada mm-hmm. is?
Yeah.
I'm in Arvada with a little office and storage. Mm-hmm. He's up the road and I think we're all there.
Mm-hmm.
And, Vi knows, I have known each other for a long time. Anything happens, he'll get a call. What he'll do, I don't know. I don't even know if he'll come down. But he might, call some other people. He's, that Facebook Fiddlers Association that I got you on?
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the administrators of that group.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And he's very active in the group. And the group has 5,000-6,000 fiddlers worldwide. So, the word will go out, something happened. It could happen tomorrow, it could happen 20 years from now, I could have, with AFib, I could have a stroke. I don't know if you're aware, but Bob Wills had a stroke. There's pictures of Sleepy Johnson, his guitar player. Bob could move his left hand, and his right hand was sitting here, and Sleepy would pull the bow. And Bob's fingers are going like this. And then there was another thing, just the opposite happened to that fiddler in West Virginia. You probably never heard of him, but a famous fiddler from West Virginia. He lost the use of this hand. His bow hand worked great, but it's,
I'd heard about Bob. I was not the other guy, though.
It'll come to me at some point, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, I've had 5-6 major scenes that I've done. I've had a major connection with Washington State, Colorado, Texas, Arkansas, California, and now Arizona. I've been in and out of Arizona since I hit the road in 1971. But this latest phase, which is I'm about 8 years into it, Dan Robinson got me another. And of all of the different zones that I've occupied and spent time in, been based out of, Arizona is the one that holds the most for me in terms of the last phase here, 70 till whenever, And I would really like to rebase myself in here. There's many complications with doing it, but there's three reasons. One is because I have a better connection musically with the musical community, fiddling and whatnot down here than anywhere else. Secondly, I have a better connection with my rainbow people, which is kind of... See, I'm an old hippie. You probably have figured that out by now.
Oh, yeah.
And even though
you showed me a picture one time, you at a protest wearing your helmet, and some guy was chasing you with a billy club, or they were the cops had the
I
billy
showed
club.
You that picture.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And so you had your helmet. I think it was after you got out of the military, and you were protesting, and then.
I know that picture.
yeah, you showed me that picture. Yeah.
Well, like any family, we have our agreements and disagreements, but there's a lot of that bunch that I could do without them or without their way of being, but nonetheless, we all go back, many of us, to the days when we had our thumbs out, running up and down the roads in the 70s. We know each other forever. We go and have a little family reunion.
Are you in Chipotle now?
I got more connections here in Arizona with that one. And the other reason I want to be in Arizona is because I go down to Algodones and get my teeth fixed. And I've got three, four implants.
That's a good sign.
So.
Yes, because they wanted to make sure that you do have families. This is like the area, and I'm like,
I've been following, you know, what's been going on with your family and watching the trajectory here, which is pretty unbelievable and awesome and amazing. And there's a lot of possibilities that I have in mind that I want to run by you. But I also don't want to hold the conversation. I want to find out what I mean. I know that you're cutting an album in a what looks like a fairly high end studio up there in where I was earlier. What's the name of that?
Scottsdale.
Scottsdale. Yeah. Goldwater Country.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had they did some recording up there. We just she's having just kind of do it as we have time, and
so you don't have a targeted date on.
Well, we had a little setback because Taylor started out in the band and now she doesn't want to be.
Who?
That's our oldest daughter.
Sorry.
No, Taylor.
Taylor.
So we had to cut the stuff that she was in. Because she was vocal, lead vocal. So we kind of have had to start over. So it's taking longer.
Is she going to college?
Yes, yes.
So is she still living at home?
She just moved out. She's 20. So.
Yeah.
So we just kind of had to revamp the CD. It would have been done, but we kind of had to, you know, go, okay, well, we can't really put out a CD with she's not in the band anymore, right? So we're kind of starting over. But, yeah, it's a great studio. They're doing a great job.
How did you find that one?
Through a friend. Uh-huh. Yeah, through a friend. So, yeah. So that's been really fun for them.
You know, pretty much what I gather is that you've been hitting contests all over the western part of the United. Have you crossed the Mississippi with your rig yet?
We went up to Minnesota this summer.
So technically we were on the east side of the Mississippi. In fact, we stopped at the headwaters.
Yep.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And,
yep.
So wait a minute, doesn't the Mississippi come up and then the Missouri comes in and meets it around St. Louis?
Mm-hmm.
And then the Mississippi keeps going up, and there's headwaters up there in Minnesota.
Yep. At Itasca State Park.
Okay, I knew that, but I haven't been up there.
Yes. Picture the kids walking across the headwaters.
You were at a Minnesota
state
contest?
Yeah.
And didn't the girls do real well?
They did do really well, yeah. We didn't know because they do a lot of Canadian fiddling there.
Oh, yeah.
So it was different, but it was really fun, and there was some great fiddlers.
And did the Canadian style of fiddling, how is it competitive-wise to Texas stuff?
Totally different.
Completely different. So what they did was they had... had three judges. One was a Texas style fiddler, one was a Canadian style fiddler, and one was a classical. He teaches classical violin.
Really?
And so because there's so many, there's really no Texas style fiddle up there, but except for the kids when they were there. But
I mean, they're kids.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people who are play classically and then kind of try to.
Were the Biscuito girls
involved?
Yeah. Or no. They weren't there.
But yeah, they have been there before. That's what I was thinking of. I've heard the name because
so a lot of classical musicians then will learn fiddle tunes and play in a contest.
Yeah.
And then the Canadian fiddlers are primarily, that's their predominant style. So there was a guy, and I don't remember his name, he lives in Minnesota, but he's traveled all over. I can't remember his name, but he's a kind of a big deal in the Canadian fiddle world. And I can't remember his name. Anyway, so yeah, it was a really interesting contest to go to.
Even though you girls were playing Texas style, they still play slow?
They did. I think they played well. So they recognized that they could play well, even though it was a little different style. Yeah. The judges still recognized that that they knew what they were doing. So it was good. And it was fun to, you know, hear the different style than what we're used to.
You get older, you can't remember. You can see all the faces perfectly, but you can't remember the names. There's a real famous Winnipeg fiddler who's gone on to great heights. Well, anyway.
Where's the Rainbow Gathering? What town?
Huh?
What town is the Rainbow Gathering?
Oh, we never know.
Oh, you don't know.
They don't pick the site usually until 2 weeks before. So all we know is somewhere in either Minnesota or Wisconsin, they pick two states.
Okay.
And I don't know where it's going to end up. It'll be up there somewhere. Back in, what year was it? 1990, we were over by Grand Marais. Is that Michigan?
Nope. Grand Marais is in Minnesota. It's up on the north shore.
South shore of Lake Superior.
Yeah. They call it the North Shore?
It's up the road from Duluth.
Yeah, so Grand Marais is clear up by the Canadian border. So you take that highway from Duluth, clear up to Twin Harbors and all the way around up there. And that's all, it's real pristine up there. They have the Boundary Waters canoe area, so no motorized vehicles of any kind. You can canoe there. That's what they call it, the Boundary Waters. Expanse of the wilderness area. That's where if you don't hang your coolers out of the between the tree, you can't hang your cooler in a tree.
The bears?
You have to hang them between the trees and high, otherwise the bears would just tear them apart. So there's a lot of stories about people fishing, and they have their camp, and they're set up 50 feet from the lake, and they're down getting in there, and they turn around, and the bears are tearing their tent apart, trying to get to the granola bars.
Oh, we had. One of my friends I'm seeing about a week in Tucson is sleeping in her tent with her boyfriend when we were in Waters Meet, Michigan, 1983. She woke up and there was a bear clawing at her peanut butter and her bread. I fell out of it. They didn't get hurt, but their tent got torn. Anyway. Getting back to the business at hand. Like I said, if I don't do something, this stuff's going to go in the dumpster, or, you know, biohazard, or, you know, they'll get a call. I would like to, instead of that happening, I would like to move. A lot of it's in my head, a lot of it's in file folders and boxes and stuff. It mostly is in disarray and it needs to be organized, and the stuff that can be converted to digital, you know what I mean by that, needs to be converted. Some of it I've started converting, like I've moved all of my cassettes over to digital, but I haven't split them. So when you move a cassette, you get a side A and a side B MP3. And then if there was 12 tunes on this side, you get one long MP3 that's 30, 45 minutes long. Another one. And they need to be split up and filed away, you know, and that sort of thing. A lot of stuff needs to be interpreted. Like, if something happens to me and somebody gets a hold of this stuff, after I'm dust or can no longer move one of my arms, people are going to say, well, that's nice, but I wish that Henry was here, that he could explain, how did he do that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's called interpreting. So I've been thinking, well, you know, we could use my stuff as the inception of an Arizona fiddling school for fiddling violinists, you know, because there's more and more You go to these fiddling camps nowadays, and almost all of them have violin training. It didn't used to be that way. But ever since Mark O'Connor started doing fiddle camps, you go to these fiddle camps, and almost all the kids that are coming have some, you know, like Maddie had a classical before. Now, I don't know, did any of the other girls have classical also? You know, so they come in with some good grounding, and then they want to go into fiddling. That all changed back when I was, you know. I need it to go back. Yeah, that'd be great.
Thank you. And boss, are you still working on that too?
Yeah, I'm still moving.
Take your time, no rush. Thank you, folks.
So, you know, I've known the Rolands for forever. I've known Peter for probably 4 decades. Of course, I know the Berries, John Kennedy, Maria MacArthur, and her family. I'm close with them. I hang with them when I meet you. So I was thinking, well, come down and, you know, this is the winter where I'm going to really start moving on this. Because we're going into eighth of a year ago. And being semi-retired, you know, with all my medications and dealing with my heart and my low back, and I'm getting old and I don't have the energy that I used to, and things that I used to do like that take longer, and I have to sleep more. And, you know, it's really time for me to get serious about passing this to Bob, you know. So, but then I was thinking, you know, as I've been watching the girls, the videos, and seeing what that they're not going to get in these contests. I mean, I saw a couple of them. Maddie. Second place, I can't remember. Third place.
Rennell
was second, right?
Yeah, I think so.
The third place was
Marshall.
And I nearly dropped to the floor. I grabbed my phone. Marshall! What happened? I can't believe this. He said Henry it was based on how many times they accompanied.
Right.
I said, oh, that explains it. You know. But I've been seeing what's going on, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, this Dietrich family, those kids are, what, she, Bree is what, 9?
Yeah, she just turned 9.
In 10 years, if they keep doing what they're doing, they could be on the world stage.
You think so?
And I know so. And I know this business inside out. I could have been on the world stage. Well, I have in some sense. You know, I've been all the way to Russia, I've been to Australia, I haven't been to Japan, I've been to New Zealand, Thailand, you know. Every state but Maine and Alaska. And I've done everything there is. I don't know if there's another fiddler or violinist in the world that has done the variety of things with a fiddle or a violin that I've done.
Yeah.
You know, now some of the things you see on the list, like leading a pet parade. I have led one pet parade because somebody had a pet parade, called an agent or someone said, oh, go get Henry the fiddler. And they called me up and I said, sure, I'll lead your pet parade.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I've played in developmentally disabled, you know, places for those kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
I've played for wedding, you know, proposals. Would you, I'm proposing to Georgia. Would you play Georgia on my mind for my wedding? Sure, you know, $150. Oh, yeah, well, I don't know, but I'll go to, so I go to the, this was before the internet, I go to the library. Yeah, one Georgia on my mind for the proposal. And
awesome.
But I'm thinking to myself, you know, we should really sit down and I should find out if you've got any kind of long-term vision at this point for where the girls could go with this or where they're going. Or, because the impression all I see so far is you're going to fiddle contests, you're having fun, you're making a few videos, et cetera, et cetera. But do you all really know what you've got here? Because you've got four beautiful girls that have big smiles and are willing to costume themselves from head to foot in, like, I mean, you know who the Quavy sisters are?
Yeah.
Have you heard them play?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're great, but they don't get out. They don't get into costuming.
Okay.
And I hate to say it, but Hulda got married and she let herself go, and she doesn't. She's not as attractive. The other two, they haven't gotten married yet, I don't think. But they don't. They're not into theatrics. Okay.
Okay.
They play the tunes well. They're fantastic. They get the standing ovation.
Yeah.
But they don't. They don't pay attention to costuming. They don't have dancers. They don't have backdrops. They have videos, mm-hmm. but the video is them appearing on Marty Stewart's show. Or, you know, with Joey at, you know, some venue. But they don't make the, see, this is another thing. That have you gotten on Facebook this little girl from California, Carolina, the Russian girl? Well, there's a girl who's a Russian-American. Her first name is Carolina, spelled with a K.
Okay.
And her last name is Korchenko, you know, some Russian name. And her parents take her down to the mall in San Diego, Santa Monica.
Okay.
And they set up equipment, including a microphone and a mic stand.
Oh, no.
Okay.
And she plays in tune, and it's electrified.
Okay.
And she draws a big crowd. And she plays very, very simple melodies. Nothing fancy or verbose or, you know, no flying fingers. Mm-hmm. Just beautiful mm-hmm. melodies.
Mm-hmm.
And they make videos.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And they put them on YouTube. In Carolina, it's been less than a year. You know what a viral video is?
Yes.
Her videos are, you know, I don't know, 200,000 views or 1 million views or 2 million, but they're just going gangbusters.
Wow. Because is she just a little cutie and people like it? I don't.
We'll have to look at them.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But here's where that's going. Here you are on the road running all over the country.
Uh-huh.
You're passing all kinds of beautiful state parks and national parks.
Mm-hmm.
And going to Topanga, you're by the west coast, you got an ocean.
Right.
And you got four beautiful girls that all play consonants. And you get out your video and you start filming. And then one of you or one of them that's interested in it learns video editing.
Okay.
And they can go down the same path that Lindsay Stringer. You know Lindsay Stringer?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you seen her show yet?
Yeah, I've seen, you know, her YouTube.
Well, I've been to her live show in an arena.
Yeah, no, we haven't seen that.
Did you know Lindsay's from Gilbert?
No, I didn't know that.
She's a Mormon girl. From Gilbert, Arizona.
Did not know.
And there's a book called something about the last pirate at the party.
Okay.
That tells the whole story. She got together with a video producer named Devin Graham. And he helped her with her first video. And it was a smash hit. It went viral. She's probably worth $10 million right now. And she was playing Leningrad. No, it's called St. Petersburg in Russia now. And I've got a good friend that lives over there. So I messaged her on Facebook. I said, hey, this Lindsay Sterling has come to town. This is a friend who is also a fiddle player.
Mm-hmm.
My Russian friend. I said, you got to go to this show. So she goes to the show. She was wowed. Lindsay Sterling, just a local girl, and Lindsay does her own video editing. She learned how to do video editing, either from Devin or somebody else. So there's that. Then there's this thing called Patreon. Have you heard about Patreon yet?
Mm-mm.
I wrote it down there.
I didn't know that. That was for a customer.
P-A-T-R-E-O-N.
Okay.
Well, Patreon, you've heard about crowdfunding?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Patreon has a special twist to it. You get your sponsors, your people that love you, right?
Uh-huh.
And they sign up, and when you put a new video up, mm-hmm. they all get notified.
Okay.
And they all kick in some bucks.
Uh-huh.
And I know there's a guy in the Philippines that has a channel where he does these airplane crashes.
Okay.
And every time he puts up one, you know, the story of Flight 103. At the end, it says, please support. Here's my www.patreon.com/ and then his thing. And there must be a half a dozen of these that are already happening in the fiddle and violin world. But what you have is, I mean, four sisters were not dropped down dead gorgeous and wearing, you know, costumes and playing their instruments with their hair in the, you know, blowing in the wind and their dresses.
Okay, gotcha.
Big smiles.
Okay.
And you come back home with this video and you start editing it. And, you know, you might not score a grand slam the first time around, but you get better and better, and sooner or later. Thank you, sir. You know, and that's one way you can go, where you really don't have to change what you're doing, hardly at all.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing you can do is you can target an arena show like Lindsay's doing.
Okay.
When I say target, I'm talking about you're looking 10 years down the line, right?
Yeah.
When the nine-year-old is a 19-year-old.
Right.
Right. And of course, I don't want to push any of these ideas. This is all, I'm just laying things on the table of what I'm thinking about and seeing as possibilities. Because who knows, my girls might, you know, just like Taylor, you know, they might say, well, I just rather just find a handsome guy and get married and have a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
Or, you know, go get my sociology degree or become a physical therapist, what I've been doing. But when I call you on the phone and I hear music in the background, and they're all knocking them dead in these contests and I can see the enthusiasm, I think to myself, you know, it's worth sitting down and having a talk. Because one of the options would be, instead of going to Roland and I can't remember anybody. I just said her name. What's the lady's name that introduced you to the Rolands? Barry.
Oh, Barry, yeah.
Instead of going to Roland and Barry and MacArthur and all these different people, and having this thing be a community event where you have to get different personalities to work together and cooperate together.
Uh-huh.
It would be so much easier if I just talked to the Dietrichs first and see if they want to do an exclusive.
Okay.
The way the exclusive would work is, I don't talk to any of those others.
Uh-huh.
And we hammer out, it doesn't have to be on paper, maybe we'll write a few things up on paper as to where we're going with this. And I see Maddie getting on a plane and teaching in Colorado already at age 17, she was, when he dropped her off at Drift.
Yeah.
And I see pictures of her teaching other people how to, you know.
Yeah.
I'm thinking to myself, if the Dietrichs want to do it, what we could do is we could form a merger, we could start a company or a partnership or whatever, all become employees of the thing, and we could target the arena show, we could target the YouTube and the Patreon and all this stuff, and bring in whatever fundraising we need to from family, friends, church, whatever, and then everybody else in the zone, whether the zone is Arizona or the United States of America or the world,
mm-hmm.
comes through our portal. In other words, instead of having a statewide thing where everybody's getting involved, and we put my stuff in a room in a building somewhere or in a storage locker or whatever, and have everybody have control and having officers and all that kind of jazz. Just make it the Deep Trip family whatever. And then anybody who wants access comes through our partnership or corporation or whatever we start.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can control, you know, it can be a financial cash cow, you know. You know, then there's some people who feel like I did. When I first hit the road, I put my little tip can out, and I was just playing for whoever, and I didn't have a price on things. And, you know, there's the NPR, you know, you listen to the National Public Radio, and we're having our fundraiser, and please support us.
Right.
Or, you know, the plate goes around at church, you know, there's that model.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter, but in any case, it's a heck of a lot easier.
So we have to look into, like,
if, you know, if this interests you and you talk to the girls and it's like, hey, Henry wants to give us all this stuff. I mean, I'm willing. Okay. Just to cut to the quick.
Yeah. Tell us.
On this end, the simplest and easiest thing for me to do is to tell my sister and Vi whenever it happens, and, you know, something happens and I can't play or I, you know, or I die or whatever. The Dietrichs need to know about it so they can get with Vi. And the next time you're passing through Colorado, make sure that the storage gets paid, you know, and the next time you're going through, you load up the stuff and bring it down. You know, in that scenario, you don't get any of the interpretation, but at least it saves it from going to the dumpster.
Mm-hmm.
On the other end of the spectrum is, wow, this sounds really great, you know, we could have a business plan, and the girls love the idea of developing an arena show, and instead of just whatever comes along, we can set a goal, an ultimate goal, and we can work on the costuming, we can work on the selections. You know, are they doing Orange Blossom Special?
No, they haven't learned that.
How about The Devil Went Down to Georgia?
No.
See, I don't know if they want to do that, but
yeah, you know, they just haven't. Yeah.
Those are the ones. No, those are the ones everybody wants.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know.
Yeah.
And work up the incredible versions. Da da da. And so we can. I mean, I could down there. To be honest with you, I don't have anything going anymore in Colorado. It wouldn't be as easy as a snap of the fingers because there's many complications. But I could move down here to Casa Grande, you know, and I could practically move in, and I could work with the girls as many hours a day as, you know, and that's the other end of the spectrum, okay? And we could do a team thing. See, the other thing that I need to explain is, are you still working with Matt and Katie?
So the girls, they haven't taken lessons with Matt for a long time, for a while. And Madison is just transitioning from Katie over to Mia.
Mia Orozco.
Oh, really?
And that's who the little girl.
Mia's doing.
Yeah, we made a switch with the little girl in January.
You made a what?
A switch to Mia in January from Katie. January, and Maddie had stayed with Katie. Madison had stayed with Katie.
Yeah.
But now we just started feeling like it's better to have them all with one teacher.
Yeah.
So we're going to Mia.
Well, it was getting difficult for Madison. Yeah.
So does Mia also do the Skype?
Yeah.
I met her finally a couple of years ago in Nashville.
Yeah, she's amazing. She was just in Nashville this summer
and
again.
And you know, the great thing about Mia is she's got a serious classical background. Doesn't she play like in some big orchestra or something?
She plays in the Abilene Philharmonic, and then she just got a job last spring for the Dallas Suzuki Institute. So she's doing
what?
Dallas Suzuki Institute.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's doing really well
That's
with her classical.
Job,
yeah.
So all of your girls are studying with Mia?
Yeah, they're all studying with Mia.
And how often do they have a lesson? Do they get one lesson all together, or do they individually?
Individual, yeah, every week.
So is that the four girls?
Yeah, the four.
So each girl gets an individual lesson with Mia.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
but that's only for the Texas style.
I was going to say that's
Madison
probably
does all the right. All the live college music. Madison does all that.
Yeah, all the band music we've just been putting together ourselves.
You mean like Train on the Island and
yeah, anything like that.
Yeah, anything that's not
the
contest.
So when you say Madison does it, you mean Madison arranges it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And
Madison
so
and Renell helps.
Yeah.
So she's just doing that on her own. So what that tells me right off the bat, see, is that they're not only interested in winning contests.
No, they like the band a lot.
And so, you know, that's the range of possibilities. You know, there's somewhere in the middle is, you know, if I can figure out a way to move down here, you know, I can work with them and you all, you know, once a week, or, you know, or we can do some kind of a Skype thing. You know, there's just a whole range of possibilities, but
yeah.
I thought, you know, you're the first ones I'm talking to.
Mm-hmm.
Because if, you know, you run it by the girls, and if what I'm talking about is of interest, and you are interested in doing the exclusive, that saves a whole lot of trouble. Because then I don't need to talk to anybody else.
And how would that look, like, as a business?
What?
You know, you mentioned it being a business. How would that look?
Well, are you still alignment?
Yeah.
How often? I mean, with all this girls and travel and contests, I often wonder, do you ever go to work?
I never sleep. I just got called to work now.
Wait, you have a pager?
Oh,
cell phone?
Yeah.
So you had it on vibrate?
Yeah, so when I'm at home, I work 7 days a week. Like, I had to get off work to come and meet you. I had to, like, shift my schedule and do a whole bunch of stuff. And then now one of the other guys is out working and he needs help. So, yeah, when we're at home, I work. So,
yeah.
I work like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from home, and then that day.
You mean you're on duty, on call? Mm-hmm. You're some kind of a supervisor of something?
Yeah,
line?
He gets no, take no, it. No, he gets called for emergencies. There's a lot of emergencies.
You are a pretty high up supervisor, Mucky Muck, kind of big kahuna type.
No, it's kind of a unique job. I'm called a troubleman or a troubleshooter. So that means, like say if you had if this restaurant was out of power, and they call the power company I work for and say, hey, we're out of power, then the call gets dispatched to me. So I do power restoration primarily, but I go and decide what do we need? Can I make the repairs right there? Because I work on the overhead power line by myself at night, like. So, or is the damage too extensive that I need a line crew, or how many crews we need, and
you know, just working in some office somewhere. You're actually out there.
Yeah, just big rubber gloves going all the way up to here, the real thank you, very close your hand and all that. And
so when you decide that you're going to take off for 4 days or a week to go do a run to Weezer or Minnesota, what do your cohorts have to say about that?
Well, we all kind of cover each other, so everybody's got their vacation time. And then, so we just, pretty much all my vacation time goes to
yeah,
music
all of
festivals.
It.
And
you just take vacation time?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you used up all your vacation time, and now you got to take time without pay? Or?
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah, so, but it's
and sometimes we just have to say no to stuff because he's too busy. We can't do everything that people want us to do, but we do as much as we can.
Yeah.
Have you ever done a situation where you've just taken the girls out and because Dan has to work?
Not on big trips, but like when they did the American Sheriff Foundation a couple weeks ago.
Oh yeah.
And I just brought them. Yeah, and there's a lot of stuff like that I just have to bring them to if it's local. I do. But
and I work from home.
If it's, so, you know, out of town, then.
But you do have an office, don't you? I do, but I don't go there very much. So I work from home mostly.
You mostly work from home. So, and you get calls and pages or whatever 24/7.
Yeah, so.
So what's the furthest you have to drive to deal with a problem?
Most stuff is local. It's in this county.
So oh, yeah,
it's an hour and a half is.
The count, it's county.
But. Occasionally, I'll end up in Metro Phoenix quite a bit, working or down by the Mexican border or Yuma.
I remember one time we were in Yuma and the power went out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you were
I called the operating center and told them we were out of power. So, yeah, but so we don't, my work schedule being so hectic, like we, all my time off is devoted to kids' music. Like we used to ski a lot. Hunt, hike, all that stuff. So now we're pretty much committed to music.
But is this all because of Laura Berry? Laura,
no,
somehow
mostly
Laura.
Because of Madison.
Yeah, we just, it's true. We tried the Aho Fiddle Contest, and the kids just loved it, and it just kind of all.
I mean, how'd you hear about fiddling?
An old teacher that the kids had, that Maddie had. It wasn't Roland, it was just a local lady. That said, you know, you want to try a fiddle contest?
Mm-hmm.
And so we went with that.
It's not someone that's coming that
no.
I know.
No, it's not someone that even goes. She fiddled a long time ago, and she was their classical teacher that knew about fiddling.
Well, in answer to your question, now who's the gal that she's... Tanya Tucker.
Uh-huh.
Her dad had a similar job to what yours is. Have you ever heard the story about Tanya?
I haven't. No,
I don't know what business he was in. It was construction, you know, something like that. Bo, his name was Bo Tucker, and his young daughter, who was she recorded Delta Dawn. She was maybe in her teens,
mm-hmm.
But before she got to that phase, you know, she was showing promise,
mm-hmm.
And something happened, and he said, I'm quitting my job and managing my daughter's career.
Is that right?
Wow.
And there's an artist, I forget, her name is Akani something or other. Her parents are Polish. The girl, she was on Oprah when she was like 8 years old. Have you ever seen about this girl? She started drawing. She was a prodigy. By the time she was 8 years old, she was painting pictures of Christ that were so incredible that someone told Oprah about her.
Okay.
They got her on Oprah, and she started getting orders from all over the world. And her whole family quit all their jobs.
Was that right?
And now they're all millionaires.
Mm.
You know, her paintings go for $100,000,
yep.
You know,
wow.
And the girl just has talent.
Yeah, that's neat.
I don't know if you realize what you have from the perspective of uniqueness.
No, I don't think
four
we do.
Well, we've
sisters
kind of grow organically. Like we don't.
Yeah, it's just been fun. No, we haven't had a plan. You were asking if we had a plan. No.
Right, right.
It just all started happening, and we just it's kind of taken on a life of its own. You know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's real family. Like, I don't know, I guess the only focus is, it's the family. It's like an activity that keeps everybody together, so we don't have one of the kids going to a dance class at 7 o'clock, and at 7:30 another one going to a tumbling class, and so everything that we do is kind of centric around everybody being together, and other than that, we don't really... I don't think we would have much religion. I just kind of let it happen organically, you know. I guess we haven't put a lot of thought into it as far as
the future.
I mean, and she's like she handled it because my work, like I said, if we weren't meeting with you tonight, I wouldn't have seen her yet today. I would have went to work at 6 o'clock this morning, and I'd still be working. I wouldn't be home till maybe tomorrow morning. So, but a lot of days I'll work all day, and then we'll jump in the truck in the camper, and then I drive all night to get them to an event or a pity contest the next day. And then I'd watch the little kids and try to take a nap while the kids are, the older girls are playing, you know.
I don't know how you do it, but see, you guys are still young, you know. I mean, I used to do 24/7s, mm-hmm. you know. I understand.
Yeah.
Well, in any case, you've got something very unique. I mean, four sisters that in 10 years are going to be four very, very beautiful young women that can work together, harmonize together, and, you know, if the idea of the videos or the arena, or it doesn't even have to be arena shows, it can be state fairs, it can be community concerts. I've done all that stuff, you know, art fairs, you know. I mean, I think your girls have already done some of those kinds of things. Well, the sheriff thing, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've done lots of, you know, I saw you were at a local care facility for,
oh, right.
you know, seniors.
Yeah.
You know, I've done hundreds of those, you know. You know, that's one thing. But if they're interested in traveling the world, being on the world stage, they have something that is extremely unique. And, so was this, you know, like I say, you know, the only other thing that comes to mind is the Quabies.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not, you know, they're not. I mean, you've seen the Duttons show.
Yeah.
You know, the Duttons. Oh, and by the way, the Duttons are doing the videos. And they're doing. Have you seen any of the Duttons videos yet?
No.
Well, you know what an MTV type video is, right? Where they take a song and, you know, but they orchestrate it and they do a. They're driving down the road in a pickup truck and
right.
they're playing their
right.
guitars. Yeah. You know, I mean, the Duttons have gotten into that.
Okay.
You know, but the Duttons, you know, they're a mixed boy and girl type thing, and they're all older now, but, you know, I just think that your girls could write any ticket that they wanted to,
really?
If they want to.
Okay.
You know, if you just want to keep it a family thing and leave it be organic and let it unfold mm-hmm. as it's unfolding,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, the way I would be interested in helping is to say, oh, and I didn't tell you this, but, and this is important, because you told me you're giving Katie and Matt a lot of money.
Yeah.
I've been on a veteran's pension for several years now. And another thing I did today was I talked to the Social Security Administration, because I'll be turning 70 next May. And I'm probably going to get off the veteran's pension and go to Social Security. Because I don't know if you know about Social Security, but if you defer it, the longer you defer it, and 70 is the last step. So I can get similar or a little more from Social. So I don't need any money to do this. You know, I'm doing good financially. I'm not, like I said, I'm not famous, but I'm not rich. But I don't need to charge, you know, for my time, you know, because I'm semi-retired, you know.
So,
you know.
You're telling me you're offering to do this for that, to work with them for nothing?
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Well, money doesn't, you know. That money means something to some people and not others.
Right.
And money has never really meant anything to me. The thing that I've had is freedom, you know. And I've had a very, not to say that it's all been, there have been a lot of bumps.
Yeah.
And I can talk about the problems I've faced in this lifetime. Have you ever heard of Asperger's?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I haven't been diagnosed, but I've read the books, and I've, you know, supposedly Einstein was an Asperger. And, you know, when you read the criteria, it's also known as high-functioning autism.
Mm-hmm.
And I started hearing the G word, you know, oh, your son is a genius, when I was 10 years old, you know, and I started winning fiddle violin contests back then, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was a national top 20 at Weezer in 1976. But it's kind of a lopsided thing, you know, you're gifted over, God gives you great gifts in one area, and then I'm very deficient in social things. Like, I can't figure out how to work with people. Like, I wouldn't, if I had 10 people or 100 people, I wouldn't have a clue how to delegate, you know.
Okay.
I mean, there's many reasons why I haven't been wildly more successful than I have, and one of them is because I've got these gifts over here, but I've got three deficiencies over there, and I haven't really sought out assistance to fill the gaps. Money is just, I've got my freedom, and I don't need money, and what am I going to do with it, you know? I would much rather, the way I look at it is more like a trade.
Okay.
I will help the girls wherever they want to go. Mm-hmm. You know, if they say, oh, that looks great, I'd love to try. Or, you know, oh, yeah, I'd like that style of music.
Right.
Or, oh, he did this? Oh, yeah, yeah. Celtic music. Yeah, I've been hearing that. Rock and roll, you know. I can help them in whatever direction they want to go, and what do I need in exchange? Not money, but help organizing my stuff. You know, it's kind of like so that when I turn to dust, instead of it just being a bunch of boxes of Henry's stuff, the best stuff has been digitized. And remember when I was showing Maddie Mockingbird?
Yeah.
Didn't you make a video?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, the best stuff, like Orange Blossom Special, like Devil Went Down to Georgia,
right,
like working on, I mentioned to you, the harmony on the national anthem, getting a better harmony for that.
Right.
The best stuff, you know, we can video.
Right.
And then we can take that. And if you want to turn these things into profit centers, do something like, are you familiar with Mike Rowland's website?
Yeah, I am.
You know, he's got a way to charge.
Right.
And Vi does this. Vi has another.
Vi
has a, I forgot what he calls it, Talent Forge or something.
Yeah, I think Matt was doing that with him for a while.
He has a way to bring cash flow through. Or if that doesn't, I mean, that doesn't really resonate with me. I like more the nonprofit business model, you know. This month we're, you know, listening to your NPR station. This month we're having at the $10 level. You know that model, right?
Right.
I mean, very similar to the Pass the Plate in the Church model, you know. But does that answer your question?
I think so. How do you, a lot of, pretty much everything.
Are we keeping you from your work?
Henry and I can meet later if you want.
No, I'm good. I mean, I don't. I play a pretty small role in like kids' music. I mean, I fund the instruments. So,
before we had this meeting, I asked Tiffany. I said, "Should it just be you and I, or do you, I mean, does Dad? Does he do anything other than just drive the big rig down the road?"
I'd drive them and
buy the instruments,
but. I think the only thing that I would be able to add outside of, you know, probably, you know, Tiffany is that, so education has always been, you know, for us, paramount with the kids, and I think, so Madison's in her second year of college now, and she's a senior in high school.
Wait, Madison is both a senior in high school and in her second year of college?
Mm-hmm.
Simultaneously?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, she does dual enrollment, so she's...
You mean it's like when I was in high school where you were still in high school but you were taking college-level classes in school?
Right.
I mean, she doesn't go to a different college.
Mm-hmm, yeah, she does.
She goes to a college.
She goes to a separate college where she's getting college credits aside from her high school.
Yeah. Yeah, they both, Taylor did that too.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what were you saying?
Next fall, she'll be going into her third year, and so she's not really sure where she's going to be.
third year of college.
Yeah.
Right.
So about next August, September, we're not real sure where she's going to be. She may be in Phoenix at Arizona Christian University.
I'm not a fan of the smell.
There's some scholarship opportunities for her at different schools with her music and different stuff. So we're kind of playing that by ear.
She's in high school and college, mm-hmm. and doing her music and her fiddling and running around with you all
over the
country. Yeah. Yep.
Does she ever sleep?
No. And she plays at the church. She's
actually in a paid job in the church band. The church in town hired her.
The church we have, they have their own band. Like, they're not...
They're a country band.
They're not like when you go to church and you get the guy that gets up and leads the choir or whatever. They've got... The band is their own deal. It's a guy named John Montgomery, who grew up in a family band. John's about 80, 70, some?
Yeah.
Late 70s. He grew up in a family band, loading up in the station wagon, and from East Texas to Southern California, and that's how he grew up. And who did he say he... He was at a talent contest somewhere and beat Wayne Newton. And so him and Wayne Newton kind of got to be half friends then. And anyway, but he runs that band. So the band is its own entity. And so they sought out Madison to come and play music with him.
So on the violin.
Yeah, they needed
and a piano and a guitar.
And piano, yeah, she plays other things too.
She plays three instruments?
No, she plays more. She actually just played on, someone else just hired her for their CD to play bowed bass too. She just got that done.
Bowed bass?
Yeah, Madison, you know. Plays, yeah.
Bowed bass,
she does,
too?
Yeah.
Well, you have a bass in the house?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you've got a piano now. Yeah.
We have two pianos. But so that's why, like, Peter Rowland asked her if she would be in this Celtic group that he's doing. She's been in it, his group, for the last few years. Mm-hmm. But as you know, it's a lot of music when you're doing all these different styles.
It's a little too much.
So we've been concerned about how much they can learn. At one time, you know what I mean?
Well, and for her to still be able to keep up with school.
Yeah.
And even the little kids to be able to keep up with school. Cause,
yeah.
You know, Bree won at Weezer last year, won that feeling. And you think, you know, Aspen, you know, she'll be right there because she was fourth in the Pee-wees. And she didn't, I mean, she played okay.
Was Aspen the one right after Bree?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Her teacher thinks she can be right up there.
Renell's in between Bree and...
No, Renell's older than Bree.
Renell's, she's between Bree and Maddie.
Maddie, mm-hmm. Yep. So, and Renell should be right... Renell should be at the top in Weezer. Yeah, she should be in the top
five.
She didn't play well.
Was she about 12?
10.
She was 9 in Weezer, and she was in the juniors for the first time, and she got 9th place. She missed the cup by one person.
So her and Bree are just 1 year apart?
Yeah, 14.
Yeah, they were 8 and 9 in Weezer, but so
and
she should.
Renell
be
didn't play well. She wasn't feeling well that day, and she didn't play well, and I think if she had been feeling well and played well, she would have played well. She would have probably made the top five or close to it. So this year, she'll be 10 at Weezer this year. So we expect, and we hope, that she'll be pretty firmly in the top five in the junior, which gets pretty competitive. You know, as 12-year-old boys playing on full-size violins. And then... You know, we're hoping Bree makes it out of first. You know, Bree makes the first cut.
Will this be your second or third Weezer?
Third. Renell got third the first year, and then Bree won this year.
This is your third time.
It will be.
This will be your third time.
Yeah,
in 2019 will be. So they devote a tremendous amount of time to that, to their contest stuff, because what they found is when they're doing a stage show, and when Maddie's run the show, it gives them great something to talk about with the, you know, when you bet a national title or a state title or whatever, it kind of gives them, I don't know, it gives Maddie something to kind of intro them with. And that's kind of in their wheelhouse. Like they
kind of
in their wheelhouse. Like they love competing. Like
in their wheelhouse.
Yeah. Like kind of in their thing. It's kind of their.
What they like to do is what he's trying to say. Like, they like to do that.
Like Madison's favorite thing isn't a fiddle contest. Like she's more a performer.
Right.
But the little girls
they like to compete.
They like to compete. Oh yeah.
Well, listen, I started out classical, mm-hmm. and I got into fiddling in competition in my early 20s. Yeah. I got out of the Army during the war. I didn't go over, but I did my 2 years. And I started competing. And I could play fast, and I could win trophies and money.
Mm-hmm.
And I just loved competition. Mm. But, you know, it's a phase you go through. Mm-hmm. I look back and I know exactly where they're at. Because I went through it. And that's fine. I wouldn't take them out of it for a minute. But, you know, and there are some people that stay in that competition the whole ride. But most people, you know, I mean, I could tell you stories of it, story after story about people that come out of Weezer and, you know, Janet Jay, you know, she was on Hee Haw, and,
right.
and what's her name was playing for Rod Stewart or one of the big guys. And I mean, you know, people move on and do other things.
Right.
You
right.
know, which
yeah.
is part of the reason I gave
yeah.
you this list.
And that's what I would say, and that's kind of the only thing that I could add, since it's kind of her. She, you know, she takes care of the day-to-day music, because my work schedule is like,
she there's meaning Manny
Tiffany.
Or?
No, Tiffany. Because there's, you know, most days I leave before they're up, way before they're, I mean, I'm gone way before the sun comes up, and I don't get home till halfway after they're in bed. So Tiffany kind of manages that. But
and this is 7 days a week, that's your life?
Pretty much. Yeah. But what that does is I really enjoy my work.
You pick up a little overtime, though.
Huh? Yeah. No. Yeah, just a little. But, well, Trump needs money. He's got to build his wall. So, anyway, so Tiffany, but academically, like, because Madison now is, you know, she's 18 now. She just turned 18. So, you know, that's the only thing I would bring to the forefront is, that she still hasn't made any firm decisions about next fall. So it's possible she'll be living at home and continuing school. She could do some online stuff, or she could go to, like, Arizona Christian University. She could drive up there a couple of days a week and just consolidate classes. To
she has her own vehicle, I guess.
Yeah, we... Like Madison, she does a lot of housework and she does a lot of music lessons, so we bought her car that she drives, so we're very communal, I guess, and the way I was raised, I had to buy my own car and buy my own gas and all that. But at our house, because Madison is so integrated into the family, I mean, she's the little kids wouldn't be near where they're at without Madison's help day to day. It doesn't matter who their master teacher is, like you know, Katie Glassman or Mia Roscoe or whatever.
I mean, Madison is teaching the.
She does the
everyday
grind
every
out,
day, you know,
the all the mud work, every you know, yeah. just every new song, and they're little kids. I mean, if they you know skip an A part or whatever, or if they play something out of tune, Madison will.
Do you remember in Tucson last year?
Yeah.
Bree and I were doing Tennessee
yes.
Waltz or something,
yes.
and she. Stopped after the A part.
I know.
And I looked over at her and I said, that's all you need. She just looked at me. She was done.
You got to pick a better partner this year.
Yeah.
Oh, I was glad to do that. I was so surprised.
I know.
She
just
stopped.
Like,
did she say anything afterwards?
She knew that she messed up, but I think because she hadn't.
Hadn't rehearsed it enough?
Yeah, I think it was. She just hadn't practiced it enough. Yeah, it was, you know, new to her.
And they do have they digest a lot of new music and with the fiddling. And they've only, they've been with Mia since January.
Yeah.
So Mia's teaching style is different than Katie's and much, much different than Matt's. So they're just now really getting settled into the way Mia teaches, like just the difference in the bow arm and stuff. So,
but Mia's strictly helping them with Texas style competition,
right? And then, you know, obviously then that technique really bleeds over real heavy into their band music, like with the way Bree fiddles, and now is. Rennell's just completely self-taught on the mandolin, so she just started picking it up and playing it. But Rennell's never had a lesson on the mandolin, And Madison's another, well, she had some, like, classical guitar lessons at one time.
Yeah,
which finger style, but.
Which one?
Madison? Some years ago, but so Madison on the guitar is pretty much self-taught. They just like listen for what chords are being played and then remember them. And every time there's a guitar player around, you know, they'll be listening to what chords are playing and trying to get better that way. But yeah, the academics is just so you know. I mean, there's a probably a pretty fair chance Madison will be, you know, won't be at home anymore after next fall. I mean, she could be if she decides to stay home.
But if she is away, they can still get together and do a gig here and there if they get called. I mean, she's not talking about going to Austin or California.
Well, she'd like to go to Texas, I think.
She'd like to go to another state. That would pretty much nix the band, wouldn't it?
That would kind of. So, the little girls could, by then, if that were to happen, you know, hopefully that.
Then it would be the three girls.
Right.
Their band, which
right.
is fine.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. But Madison could decide to.
I mean, I was watching Breeze fiddling, and I was watching her bowl.
Yeah. Is it good?
Has had some good training.
Yeah, she has.
You know?
Yeah, and that's the part that it's really helpful with Madison, because it's like the teacher gives them the lesson, but then Madison's there to go, and now finally I'm learning, you know, the right techniques. But she's been really helpful to like, hey, no, that note is flat or something, you know? And sometimes Shane and I can't hear that kind of stuff, so we really rely on her to help them.
I'm tone deaf, so I can't. All
see,
I can hear is
see, when I was... every time 12 years old? I mean, when I was in their league, you know, the young ones,
mm-hmm.
I was already, you know, I can't remember when I won, you know, my first violin. See, I was in violin contests when I was a kid. And
so did you get into music? Just you're the only one in your family that got into it?
Oh, I have a sister that played some clarinet, but she didn't go anywhere with the music.
I mean,
my parents, my mom played a little piano, my dad played a little violin. Neither of them actually had instruments in the house.
Wow.
They were very much classical music aficionados, and they were also folk music aficionados. They liked. I don't know if you remember that. I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember that. There was something called the Folk Revival, and there used to be something called Boot Nannies.
Back, I've heard the word. But
back in, this would have been the, 60s, 70s?
We all had the same thing.
And they were into that kind of stuff, you know. But no, I didn't have sibs that, you know, I didn't have anything like what you have.
That's amazing that you did all that on your own.
I just came up in the classical world, and then one day I was probably in my early 20s. I'd never heard of Orange Blossom Special, never heard of a fiddler's convention or a fiddle competition. We used to noodle around in orchestra and play Turkey in the Straw, you know.
Oh, you did?
You know, and then the orchestra director would tap on the stand. Shut up over there, my host! You know, and we knew maybe one, maybe two, maybe a little Arkansas Traveler.
Okay.
We might not have even known the name of it.
Right.
We would noodle around in these
mm-hmm.
things. But the idea of a fiddle player was, you know, this, you know, on Hee Haw, you know, the guy that's lost his teeth.
Right.
Overalls, you know, and just the stereotype image. We never saw a fiddle player. We never heard a real fiddle player. We didn't know what a fiddle player, because I'm from the north. I'm from the suburb of Chicago, Evanston, Illinois. And, you know, so I was in the high school orchestra, and, you know, we did have our musicals, My Fair Lady, and, you know, stuff like that. And I played my violin all during high school. And then I did 2 years during NAM, and spent the whole 2 years at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, of all places. I didn't go over. There was a whole reason for that, which I won't go into. When I got out, I stuck out my thumbs. October 2nd or something, 1971, I started hitchhiking. And I was hitchhiking for 4 years. And I got to Washington, D.C., and people saw me with that thing, and they said, hey, can you play the Orange Blossom Special? I said, huh? And did you go to Union Grove? Have you ever heard of Union Grove?
Yeah.
Union Grove, North Carolina, was the big, I mean, it was like the Weezer of the East Coast. Now the Weezer, now the East Coast is, it's called Clifftop.
Clifftop, yeah.
That's the East Coast, you know, Weezer now. But back in the day,
so that's the Mecca, that's kind of the old, that's for old time, right? That's a...
It's like Dan Levinson type fiddling.
Oh, yeah.
And that one that you didn't make last year, that this will be the third year in Tucson. Now, you know, I'll warn you ahead of time, you know, there's nobody there that's, you know, dressed like you. You know, it's all a bunch of old hippies, you know. And, you know, there's a few, I mean, it's not that, the girls or you all would stand out like a sore thumb or anything, but most of the people that come to that thing are the Clifftop types. The Dan Levinson types, and that's a style of music that I love to play. You know, I get mileage playing that style of music at a senior center. You know, where I'm saying, hey, anybody, how many people used to square dance with their kids? Oh yeah, you know, I hold my violin down here, and they'll get a kick out of it. You know, and takes them back to that phase.
But you know, Doug Kershaw, right? He used to play that Cajun fiddle. Again, and Doug Kershaw played it all the way down here, and he'd be dancing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean,
and I guess I have a little thought about it, but I...
Oh, anyway, Union Grove.
Yeah.
That was the thing. Hey, did you go to the Fiddler's Convention in Union Grove? And I went, Union what? And they're talking about, and I'm from Illinois, and they're talking about North Carolina. You'd have to show me on a map where North Carolina even was. And now, you know, I just went to Mount Airy, which is still, Mount Airy is the other one, like, lift up on the East Coast. It's huge. And I went to Mount Airy, North Carolina, a couple years ago, and I won first place for the whole thing.
That's awesome.
It was unheard of, because Mount Airy, North Carolina is a place where normally the guy who wins is a local from that county. And I'm this northerner coming in. But I happen to know one of the judges. I've known him for 30 years. And I happen to know one of the top fiddlers who died from that county. And I knew his number one tune. So I went to that thing. And I just got up on stage without an accompanist. And I played their number one fiddler's number one tune. And I knew one of the three judges. And at 1 o'clock in the morning, they're giving out the prize money. And my phone, I get a text. I get a text message at 1 o'clock in the morning. And I ignored it. After 2 minutes, I looked at it. And it was my friend, who was one of the three judges. I said, what's up? He said, you better get on down here. I said, what, did I win something? I mean, this is a contest like Weezer, where there's 85 contests or 110, and everybody gets a $10 refund for competing. That's the only reason most people do. Stand up on stage, go to the table, get a $10 bill, and go back to the jam session. And I went down there, and they gave me the first place. But, you know, at Weezer, you get, what, $500, $1,500? Grand Masters, you get $1,000, $1,500. First place at Mount Airy, North Carolina, the number two prestigious on the East Coast, a little cheap ribbon and $25.
Is that right?
What?
The first place old-time fiddler.
Really?
Yeah.
Because, see, that competition, and it's the same with Clifftop. Clifftop isn't quite as cheap. I got second place in the seniors, and they gave me $100. But those East Coast contests, it's the prestige of winning.
Right.
I said, but you win Clifftop or you win Mount Airy, that's big, big news. My friends back in Colorado, I heard you won Mount Airy. Is it really true? Oh, man. You know, it's unlike out here where, you know, or even Nashville, you know, Grand Masters. You've heard about that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you win Grand Masters, you know, $1,500 or something.
Yeah, right.
Mount Airy is
you play on the Grand Ole
Opry.
You play on the Grand Ole Opry. So anyway, you know.
So is Clifftop getting bigger now? I read something that a lot of younger people now are are especially like Cliff Top and some of the East Coast stuff are starting, the attendance is going up right now.
Yeah, you know, Cliff Top and Mount Airy are counter trend. You know, almost all the Texas style contests are losing, right. You know, and going down. And you know, the one that you were going to go to in Greeley, or you did go to Greeley,
yeah,
but they canceled, yeah. Right?
They just ended up performing. They just,
right.
No contest, yeah.
It's, that's what's happening to fiddling, and to the fiddle contests. And see, this thing that Dan is doing, this thing in March, is modeled after something up in Washington State called Centralia. Have you heard about Centralia yet? Well, there's a fiddler named Ray Leach, who lives in Centralia, Washington. And he kept looking out his window at his neighbor's sheep pasture, and he said, well, that would be the perfect place for, finally he went to the neighbor, made a deal, they moved the sheep off for 9 days, and he takes it over for 2 weekends plus a stretch out in between. It's the same thing with Cliff Top and Weezer. Now, you've been to Stickerville, so you hear what kind of music is played at Stickerville.
Right.
Bunch of hippies sitting around sawing old tunes. Nobody cares about the competition. They don't even come for the competition.
Right.
They're not playing Texas style. They're playing the old time. That's real old time fiddle.
Yeah.
Okay. And so Ray has had a lot of success with Centralia up there in Washington State. And so Dan and a couple of people down here in Tucson said, hey, let's do that down here. And see, when you have a festival that doesn't have a competition, all the competition west of Nashville is going Texas. East of Nashville, there's no Texas. I was at Cliff Top 1 year, and I didn't hear, out of hundreds of fiddlers, I heard one fiddler. His nickname was K-Mark. But... he played one Texas style tune in a jam session, but other than that, zero. And the idea of having a festival where people are just there to have fun, sit around, jam. Of course, you know, Centralia, you got to go down in this campground and the smell of. And I don't know how that would affect you all, because I don't know what your qualms are about that. But you know, I mean, I'm in Colorado now, and it's every. I just come through Trinidad, Colorado, which is as conservative as you can get. And there's dispensaries all over town, because that's the first town
we come out of New Mexico.
New Mexico, Texas, and Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
They're all coming into, and Trinidad, a very conservative town, is going, hey man, we can fix all our roads, our whole infrastructure, let's do it quick while we can. But anyway, Cliff Top has not the whole thing, but there's a certain section that's very rainbow, pot smoke there. Yeah, Cliff Top Cliff Top's on top of a mountain. And it can't expand. And so everybody's packed in, and if you get there late, you can hardly find a postage stamp to put your tent up, you know. but it's something to be experienced. But it's a different thing, you know. It's all about jam sessions. It's all about contra dancing and square dancing and workshops. And even though there is a contest at Cliff Top, the money isn't big. Well, I think first place is $300, $200. You know, the money isn't big, so it's not attracting your big competitive competition fiddlers. And it's like a footnote. It's a footnote. The competition there, and also at Mount Airy where I went. A footnote. People are not there primarily to compete. But you know, if you go to something like Safford or Tucson, those two are, you know, that's all that happens. Okay, Ajo, there's a little bit of jamming out there. Yuma, almost none. But, you know, you go to the Cliff Top, Mount Airy, this one that I was telling you about in March, you know, come for a day, you know, see what it's about, you know, what the girls experience. Have they had any experience yet of the just people jamming, playing old-time tunes
yet? Yeah, because we like to go to, like, the Wickenburg Bluegrass Festival and stuff like that, and then it's just kind of all jamming. You do the fiddle contest is just a minor part of it, but then everything else is jamming.
But are the tunes they're playing more the old-time tunes as opposed to the Texas style?
They know a lot of old-time tunes from Peter Rowland.
Yeah, right.
So they do know that, and then now that they're doing their band, so they have their band songs that they can play, like Turkey in the Straw, and they have all that kind of stuff too. So they have more than just their contest stuff.
So they know about that.
Yeah, so they understand. Then there's a local jam in Casa Grande every other week. So they, and that's kind of, a lot of that is country, kind of like country fiddling, country music.
Like what they hear on the country music radio out of Nashville?
Yeah, or old time.
More like 70s country music.
Old country music. They'll let them play anything.
Yeah, a lot of that.
You know, and then they'll play like Faded Love there and stuff like that, you know, but not their, they know not to play their Texas style stuff there. You know,
they understand that Texas style fiddling is contest fiddling.
Yeah, they get it.
It doesn't. See, that's one of the big problems with Texas style fiddling. One of the reasons I don't like it is, even though I cut my teeth on it in the contest and I could do Texas style back when I started, then I started studying it and I found out more than I want to go into at this point. But Texas style has done more to kill all these other styles.
Oh, really?
And anything, because Texas style is so competitive, you know, you know, people learn, oh, if I play that style, I'm going to win money, I'm going to win trophies.
Okay.
And then they stop learning all these other great styles and tunes, and, you know, like the Canadian is one of the styles that, you know, yeah, you go up further. Sierra Noble, you heard the name Sierra Noble yet? Have you ever heard of Métis fiddling? It's spelled M-E-T-I-S. It looks like the word Metis, M-E-T-I-S.
Okay.
You've never heard of this yet?
I don't think so.
Sierra Noble is from Winnipeg, and she's a Métis fiddler.
Oh, okay.
And it was a mix of European and the Native Americans up there. You know, they would intermarry, and they developed a style of fiddling. It's called Métis fiddling in Sierra Noble. I was just wondering if she came down to that.
No, she wasn't there.
But, you know, fiddling is not going to die, but it's changing.
Okay.
That's the bottom line. It's changing. And that's another reason why I'm offering to come in, because contests, you know, I don't know what's going to happen to these Texas-style contests.
Yeah.
I'm sure in Texas they're going to keep going.
Right. They do seem to be big in Texas. Whenever we go there, there's a lot of people. Now, it was 2011 the last time you went to Weezer?
Yeah, and the only reason I did that year was because our Rainbow Gathering was over by Mount St. Helens, and I was right next door.
Oh.
And so I hadn't been there in 16 years.
Oh, okay.
And
because you don't like the style? Or?
Not so much because I don't like the style, but because I just got other stuff happening, you know, and you know, you invest so much time and energy to come, and you know, when I lived in the Northwest, I was there every year.
Yeah.
But now I'm based in Colorado.
Yeah.
And you know, if my rainbow shindig, which is July 1st through 7th, is over here and Weezer's over there, you know, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. Maddie had a good time jamming in Stickerville this summer. She spent every minute over there.
Where?
In Stickerville jamming.
She went to Stickerville?
She just jammed the whole week we were there she played in the contest, but she really liked the jamming, not with the Weezer people. She liked to go over and jam with Stickerville people.
She
so that's what she did
spend
all
any
summer.
Time in Fiddle
but
Town.
She knows those tunes, because the Stickerville people play a completely different set of tunes.
I think they were just teaching her as they went and stuff, you know. But I think they were just kind
of
like, hey, do
like
this. And
playing turnarounds and fills and different stuff on stuff that she'd never heard before and didn't know.
Right.
But she's musical enough that she could figure it out. And so she would end up just kind of joining in. And then once she fell in with a bunch of old guys,
there was
a couple of groups of some old guys
that she fell in with.
That they were playing all kinds of old old time and old country and stuff that she didn't know at all. But she could drop in with them, and then she could eventually kind of put a little like put a little solo, a little rum in there, and then she was playing the turnarounds. So they were having a great time, and then she was learning these.
So she's got big ears. She can hear chord changes. She can hear leads, and she can pick up on things. And she's interested in it.
Yeah.
She might be interested in all kinds of stuff that I and you know.
Well, heck, let us talk to the kids about it.
Yeah. Did I answer your question?
I think so.
Huh?
Yeah. That's cool, Henry. It's a great offer.
Is my
it's amazing.
Is my thought about, you know, when I mentioned an exclusive, do you think there's a possibility that after you talk to the kids and feel it out as a family, that might be of interest?
Yeah, so you, so what you're thinking is just kind of help you kind of put it together? Is that what you mean by exclusive?
What I mean is that instead of, you know, you're the first ones I'm talking to about this whole project. Instead of now going to the Rollins and his and Mike and the Berries and MacArthur's, you know, I mean, I know all John Kennedy.
Right.
I can talk to everybody that I'm close with that are here, and I can talk this whole concept up from the perspective of the Arizona school of for fiddling violinists, whatever we call it, and use my stuff as the seed, so to speak, for that, and make it a group project of digitizing and organizing and putting stuff online and all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But if between you all and you know, in that scenario, it's much harder to manage because you've got a lot of people that are from separate, you know, they're not one family.
Right.
Where are we going to put the stuff? How do we arrange access? You know, if there's cash flow, who gets the money? How does it get divided up? All those questions come into play, right?
Right.
Well, if instead of going that route, the Dietrich family says, you know, this has really got a lot of potential for our family for the long term, possibly economically and professionally, etc. Let's just keep it in the family, and then I don't have to talk to all those other people. I just work with your family, and I can work with you as mom. You know, even though you're not a musician, you can be helping. We can work together on the digitizing and the organizing and that sort of thing. And then, once there's a body of material that has some value for sharing with the larger community here in Arizona, or the larger fiddling community through what Bri is doing or what Mike is doing, or however, then if there's an economic component, it comes through the Dietrich family. You know, it becomes a potential. Let's say that the CD gets produced. Well, the Dietrich, you know, if there's a website, it gets put up for sale on the website. Or if there's some videos that are available. Let's just take an example. I teach the girls how to do orange blossom. And we make a video. We put it online. And if we use Mike's model, it becomes something that, you know, people subscribe and they can pay for.
Okay.
Well, then the cash flow comes through the Dietrichs. It's just a lot easier for me if I don't need to be talking to all these people and trying to figure out how to get people to work together and where are we going to put the stuff. You know, I don't know. You know what you've got in the way of a basement nook or a alcove or somewhere where we can put things and access them. You know, but if not. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay. I get what you're saying. So other than the storage, I get the storage part. What else would our role be? Because obviously he's super good at everything computer-wise, but he's always working. So I always have to go, can you do this for me? Because I'm not good at computers.
Well, how about Maddie? Is she?
Well, and that's what I was thinking. If that's what our role would be, I would have to ask her if she would want to do that because I'm just not good at it, am I?
Well, you don't have time. I mean, I'm good at
I can do the basics, but you know, we've got one kid in diapers and we're homeschooling.
I mean, that's a, you know, there's so many different ways to skin a cat.
Right. Let me tell Maddie.
And then you've got other kids, you know, the other kids are coming up, you know, you've got Bree and Renell. I don't know if they've, if they're computer savvy or not.
Right. I mean, but, they're 9 and 10 now.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, none of this stuff has to happen tomorrow or next year.
Right.
You know, this
okay.
could do we're,
okay.
we're talking,
okay.
we're, I'm looking 5-10 years down the line.
Oh, okay,
now,
got it. Okay.
It could be, though, that, you know, if we do the exclusive suggesting
yeah.
as a mm-hmm. possibility,
mm-hmm.
we might be able to pull in someone like Maria,
mm-hmm.
you know, who's homeschooled, and her mom has talked to me about doing projects that will help her with her schooling and her music.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, maybe she would come in as, but it would still be the Dietrich project, and she would come in as an assistant or a teacher,
mm-hmm.
or how about Will
mm-hmm.
McDonald? You know, I don't know what his interest in any of this stuff is. But what's their teacher, that guy that teaches them all down there?
Roland. Well,
not
it was
Roland,
it was Coventry, but now they're going to Roland. Matt Roland.
Coventry, what's his
name? Nick Coventry.
Nick.
Uh-huh.
But now they're going to...
Matt Roland.
Oh, with Run by Run.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, what's Nick Coventry doing? He's not teaching
him? He said that he's not that comfortable with fiddling. You know, he's better with jazz and stuff like that. So I think, like, Will's mom told me that Will goes to him for jazz, but with the fiddling part, the, you know, the contest stuff, then they go to Matt. So.
Is Matt teaching Texas Style?
Yeah, he's teaching Texas Style to Maria and Will.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know Matt did Texas Style.
Well, for those two. I guess.
Well, you know, we're... Like,
I think it's close to Texas Style.
Yeah, probably not the same as, like, Katie, you know.
Anywhere where there's... Hey, look, you know, if you're a contractor, and you're going to build a house.
Right.
You don't go out there and swing your hammer and hit every nail.
Yeah.
You be the contractor, and where you... delegate, or you want to subcontract out. Okay, so I've got a lot of, I don't know if I've even told you this, but my other career has been a computer.
Yeah, I knew that.
You know
yeah,
that?
You told me that.
It doesn't mean that I'm a wizard at everything computer-wise, but I do know a lot about digitizing transfers. I know a lot about organizing and, you know, putting stuff in boxes and things, have different categories,
right.
You know, and that sort of thing, you know. There's a lot of it that I can help with, but then there's I mean, you've got other I assume you've got lots of friends in church.
Oh yeah, and I mean,
the,
I guess
and in the community,
right.
any places where you and the kids are feeling, and I can't step in, and then, you know, we move out to the same way a contractor is building a,
mm-hmm.
a high-rise building, you know, subs out to people that are experts in areas that they need, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's talk to Maddie about it. Sounds amazing.
This is just...
I'll call you soon, though, so you don't have to
You know,
go.
This is just a cast...
No, it's great.
What is it in the Bible? Cast something on the waters? Or throw a fish in the...
I know what he's thinking. I know what you're trying to say.
You cast your line out
exactly.
see what you cast.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
you're just figuring it out. Right?
I just need to start.
Yeah.
Mm.
Even
awesome.
I mean,
awesome.
I was thinking about starting in my 20s, and here I am about to turn 70, and it's like, you know, you can see, you know, the railroad tracks. If you look at the railroad tracks way in the distance,
right,
they come together.
Yeah.
And you keep going down those tracks, and they keep coming together way in the distance. And at some point, you go, oh, they're coming together, and I get closer and closer. I can see them coming together.
Yeah.
That's what's happening to me, you know.
Awesome.
I'm 69, and I know that there's a 100% chance that one of these days, I'm not going to be here anymore. I'm not going to be able to play this, or I'm not going to be able, I might be here, but I'm not going to be able to do the interpretation
mm-hmm.
of the material that I have in my storage and in my brain that I can today. So I'm finally going, okay, you better do it, because
yeah.
if you don't do it, it's not going to get done.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. good for you. I think that's awesome.
Well, to wrap it, let me just ask this. Is there enough interest in the possibility of doing something on an exclusive basis to where I should maybe wait for a week?
Give us a couple days. At least a couple days, because I want to talk to Maddie about what her input is on. Like, I would just want to make sure we held up our end of the bargain is the thing. So that's why I asked you what would our role be, because I wouldn't want to say yes and then you're like, well, they're not really doing what they're supposed to be doing here. We always want to honor what we say we're going to do.
I understand.
Yeah, so that's all. I just want to ask her, because obviously, like he said, I'm basically raising, you know, 6 kids still at home and he's gone all the time. So I just want to make sure that we have enough time for everything we commit to.
Yeah.
Well, if... Let me just say this. I know you're busy. I'm busy, and I would not expect any of the stuff we've discussed to happen in any rapid fire fashion.
Okay.
It's kind of like, you know, over the course of a few years, you know,
it's the goal.
A transition starts happening, and maybe the whole thing, hopefully, the whole project, if I would hope that I make it another 10 years, you know, I would think it to be a good 10-year project.
Yeah, wow.
I would certainly try and prioritize, you know.
Right.
I mean, I'm gonna work on something like Orange Blossom long before, I mean, I was just blown away that they were doing Train on the Island.
Oh, really?
Train on the Island is something that's, you hear east of Nashville, you know. I don't know that I've ever heard Train on the Island.
Oh, really?
In this part of the country. Maybe that, you know, that there's little pockets of your, it's kind of something that the Cliff Top crowd, you know. Where did they come up with Train on the Island?
Well, Run Boy Run does it, and Matt Rowland showed Maddie. We went to Peter Rowland's camp last summer, the one before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then Matt showed Madison the fiddle break, right? Mm-hmm. But the girls had been playing it before that because it worked really well with Taylor's voice when she was singing with them.
Oh, yeah.
And so you know how you kind of have to know your voice and pick songs that work. And we just think it's a cool song. And Madison loves playing it. She just loves that sound. So then so there's just songs like that we've picked out along the way that we think are cool. And
it just kind of fits.
But they want to, you know, they have to love it to want to practice hard. And so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I just need to get a sense as to whether, like I said, I talked to you all first. I'm happy to go and talk to Roland and Barry.
I mean, it's an
Maria
honor that you asked us, isn't it? Yeah. It's such an honor.
Yeah. Well,
we would love to do it if we can.
I just think you've got something golden here, and maybe you don't realize what you've got yet. But
well, thank you.
I mean, it's by the way, we can get together tomorrow if you want. I don't know if you have time.
Are you staying in Casa Grande tonight?
Yeah, I could just see. I've got an LA Fitness.
Membership. Oh yeah. Oh nice.
And you know, I camp out.
Yeah.
And I got friends in Mesa. I got friends in Tucson. And when I'm in this area, I usually just hang out around LA Fitness. You know.
Oh yeah, nice.
But you know, I could. On the weekend, if you're interested, I could spend some time with you and Maddie, and we could look at some of the videos that I've been talking about, you know, and so you could start seeing, like that Carolina, that Russian girl.
Yeah.
You could look at her, and then, oh, and then there's Vanessa May. You probably never heard of Vanessa May. Vanessa May.
Maddie's probably heard of those. I'm going to write that name Carolina down in my
K-A-R-O-L-I-N-A.
Okay.
You know, you can message me on Facebook. And I can
I will. Yeah, see, the other thing is Madison just had her wisdom teeth surgically removed.
Oh, yeah, I have
So she's in bed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I'm not I have to see if she's going to feel good enough tomorrow. She was supposed to, she teaches a lot of students, and so she was supposed to teach today, and she said she wasn't up to it. We had to cancel everybody.
Well, hey, I've got some Vicodin. Did they give her some painkillers?
They did give her painkillers.
Okay, good.
But
you don't know if it's a... It's
they didn't give her Vicodin. Is that...
It's a Lorset?
No, they just gave her like ibuprofen. And
well, that's if anything, it kind of.
Yeah.
I thought they gave her some other.
You know,
that other stuff that upset her stomach.
When I get teeth pulled and you have serious dental stuff, I always like to take Vicodin or
Lorset. So do you just ask for it and then they'll give it to you if you need it?
Well, see, you know, there's an epidemic now with these, what are they called, opioids?
Right.
I didn't know until about a year ago. I thought it was all meth. I thought that was the big problem. Now it's so with the Veterans Administration, I had to do a urinalysis, and I had to take a questionnaire. The doc said, okay, I can give you, with it's not too much trouble, I can give you 56 every day. Oh, well, it's funny for my situation between my back and I use it for my. I got enough of that stuff right now, as long as I don't have flare ups to keep me going. But you know, that was 5-10 years ago. The dentist just here.
Yeah.
Hey, Katie, give him a script for Morrison. And you go down and fill it. I don't know if they can do that anymore because of the opioid crisis.
Yeah,
I think
you
have to show your ID now. Because too many people had multiple doctors giving them to them.
Yeah.
So, I think that's why it's more closely controlled now. Yeah.
But in any case, if she's up for it, you know, we could just look at stuff. Like, Vanessa May, she looks Asian. Her mom is Asian, and her dad is English. Well, I think she was born in Hong Kong or somewhere over there. And then the family moved to England.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't come to the United States. I wish she would. I think her dad was very wealthy, and they bought her an instrument.
Okay.
And as a teenager, she started getting on, I think it was a kid's show called Blue Peter over in London or something.
Oh, okay.
And she's just a teeny bopper, and she's very good. She's classically trained, and she can go up in position, and she can play all this classical stuff. And then as a teenager, she started putting on wet t-shirts and, you know, hot pants and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She decided to get feisty, you know. And she moved into a phase in her 20s where she was doing kind of like Lindsey Stirling, but with... See, Lindsey writes all her own stuff, but Vanessa takes like Bach or, you know, classical stuff, and she orchestrates it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And she started making videos and jumping across the stage. And she's got a Branson type show. I could show you some of Vanessa made stuff. Anyway, she was under 30 years old, you know, one of the richest people in Great Britain under 30. She was worth $50 million or something.
This Vanessa?
Vanessa May. Last name's M-A-E. And she goes all over the world, and she's very successful, and she's probably 40 by now.
But she would be an example,
one of many, that can do an arena type show with the dancers and the Branson thing, and it's got videos and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And she happens to play my favorite song. It's on that. You've heard of The Grateful Dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you ever heard of this band, It's a Beautiful Day?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
Well, this song, Whitebird, Vanessa May covered it.
Really?
And Whitebird is my favorite song of all time.
Oh, we have to look at that.
And the guy who wrote Whitebird was the lead violinist in It's a Beautiful Day. It was a rock band. With a lead violin player. That was another thing I wanted to show Maddie is his name is David the Flame. He's out of Utah. He's in San Francisco now, and he still tours.
Mm-hmm.
But Vanessa took Whitebird, and she covered it, and there's videos of her. And she's got one of these plexiglass violins, and at one point she had a violin with an American flag on it for some reason, and she's just all... And she does, you know what Cotton Eye Joe is?
Yeah.
this British girl, she's British, mm-hmm. even though she looks Asian. And when she speaks on the microphone, she's got a British accent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to play White Bird. There's videos of her playing this White Bird song, and she does a fantastic job of it.
Oh, wow.
But you know, that she's another example of, you know, in my mind, I've been thinking about sport girls. They could do a show like this, and
wow.
You know, we could arrange that, you know, for
okay.
instead of a single violin,
yeah,
for triple or four. Anyway, I'm just.
That sounds. I mean, really cool.
There's so many different. Carolina. There's some others that. Oh, that one I just sent you. Did you ever get to see it? You were coming back from Texas. You were coming back from the Bob Wells.
Wasn't that the one that we talked about the boys?
Called Jubilee.
He's talking about the Quail Boys. The quails. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
we
yeah.
Know them.
Quail.
Yeah,
yeah that's yeah. right. Because you said you know them.
Because we know them from Weezer. Yeah.
But the other two girls and
yeah.
their band.
They're just
yeah.
in the band with them. I think they
you
needed.
Don't know, you don't know
we don't know them. Yeah. I think.
Well, anyway,
they just,
I heard them
yeah.
playing and they were. Saying,
yeah.
Wow. What is
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
And then there's Billy. Got a Hispanic last name, Billy
Contreras.
Billy Contreras.
Yeah.
Have you met him or?
No, just heard of him through
you
Matt.
Know
of, we know
you
of him
know
through
Billy?
Matt. Yeah.
Well, see, I was in Smithville, Tennessee, 20 years ago, and Billy was 10 years old, and he heard that Henry V was at the.
Hey mom, could that be that same Henry the Fiddler that was on that record that blah blah blah, you know? And
see, someone had recorded me at Weezer playing Listen to the Mockingbird, put it on a vinyl record,
okay.
which made it
wow.
to Nashville with a guy whose name I can't remember anymore, an old guy, like Billy as a kid. Heard this record. And this old guy says, hey, listen to this. He plays this record for Billy.
Yeah.
And Billy hears a guy named Henry the Fiddler play a song called Listen to the Mockingbird. And so he hears that there's a guy named Henry the Fiddler at the Smithville. Now, this is a different coast, you know. Instead
right.
of the West Coast, it's the East Coast.
Yeah.
I think they said that Henry the Fiddler. Can I go ask him if he's the same Henry the Fiddler that was on the record? And she says, now, Billy, sit down. Goes, I'm going to go ask that guy. And so he comes over and he says, hey, are you the same Henry the Fiddler who plays Mockingbird, Listen to the Mockingbird? Fraser Moss. You ever heard that name? Fraser Moss was an old fiddler from Nashville that would come to Weezer. And he went home with a record. This was probably 1978. And they put my Mockingbird as a special entertainer at Weezer on the festival. He comes back, Mom, it is the same Henry the Fiddler.
Awesome.
Well, the next thing I know, just like you asked me if I could show Maddie the Mockingbird,
uh-huh.
she asked me. Next thing I know, I'm over at Billy Contreras' house, showing him how to play Listen to the Mockingbird.
Okay.
And his mom gave me some money, and I stayed in their driveway. And I came twice, and Billy was just, you know, a good... meat and potatoes young fiddle player.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know he was going to turn into a jazz. Have you ever heard of any of his stuff on,
mm-hmm.
online?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know he was going to go into that. I mean, like, he's... I can't even understand what he's doing jazz-wise. But anyway, when I first heard that tune that I sent you with the quails in it,
mm-hmm.
and I listened to the intricacy of the tune they were playing. Did you listen to
mm-hmm.
it? All these fast notes. And I went, oh my God, that sounds just like Billy. And then I didn't see Billy for 20 years until I was in Nashville 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I just waited. I watched him in the auditorium, and I waited until he got up and he went into the practice room. And I just stood there. I looked at him, and he looked over at me. And said, Henry!
So
I went
cool.
out to his place and we visited and had a great time.
Cool.
Nice.
But
cool. He went in this totally different direction.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if Maddie would have any interest in jazz.
I don't
or
know
not.
What she. Oh, she loves jazz. Yeah, she does.
So the guy that we were talking about in Tucson.
Uh huh.
In other words, he would teach her But he would teach her the jazz.
Oh, no, no. No, I said Will goes to him for jazz.
Will goes to him
yeah,
for
Maddie
jazz.
Doesn't.
But if she wanted to.
Oh, if she wanted to, she could.
She could.
Yeah. We tried going to him one summer when Peter was gone, you know, a few years ago. But it was just, it's about an hour and a half from our house. It just got to be too far.
Yeah.
It was just too far. But, I mean, I think he's an awesome musician. I think he's great at jazz.
Mm. Well, you know, there's so much available on Skype nowadays. You know, you can kind of.
There is, yeah.
You can kind of, if you, you need lessons in something, you can.
Yeah.
You could probably hire Billy to get Skype lessons, you know.
Probably.
I haven't done much. I've done a couple of Skype things, but it's
I know, we should go too because we got the kids to put to bed.
It's hard for me. It's hard for me to do Skype because I'm out on the road and I don't have a wired connection, and you really need a fast connection, you know, to do Skype.
Even at home sometimes it wants to